Amen. Praise the Lord for God's will for our lives, and to know that He wants us to know His will for our lives. And it's not a mystery. It's something that if you love the Lord and you start reading the Bible and you start learning more about Him, you will know God's will for your life every day if you'll just look to the Lord for that. Well, Joshua chapter 23. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua, an Old Testament Bible character. And we have learned so much from that. We've actually been in this series on the life of Joshua for a full year. And we have just a couple more messages. And I was going to preach something different tonight, but I think this was the message that God would have for all of us, even the Bible school students here tonight. But Joshua is a tremendous example of Christianity, if you will, in Old Testament, but he is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And we find that he was a very willing servant there in the land of Egypt under Moses. He was faithful. He was there in Egypt. He came out of Egypt. He saw God part the Red Sea. He saw God's miracles in the wilderness. He served underneath Moses all the way through, all the way until they come back to the land of promise for the second time. And when they got back to the land of promise a second time, then God chose Joshua to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. This is God's will for the nation of Israel. Now, the promised land is not heaven. It's not symbolic of heaven. The promised land was symbolic of God's will for his nation's life, the nation of Israel. God's will for them was to be in the land of Canaan and live the life that God wanted them to live in Canaan, the Canaan land. And so we find that he used Joshua to take them in. Well, Joshua led the nation of Israel to victory after victory after victory. They defeated all of the enemy in the Canaan land, defeated all the kings and all the armies. After that, then he used Joshua to divide up the land between the 12 tribes of Israel. And boy, what a task that would have been in dividing up the inheritance that the nation of Israel had. And then now we find that Joshua is very old and stricken in age. And you think, is there any purpose for Joshua still left in this life? And can I tell you, if God keeps you here, there's a purpose that God has for your life. And Joshua had the wisdom, and he had the power of God. He had the respect of the nation of Israel. There's no one that could have counseled them like Joshua counseled the nation of Israel. And he would give them the counsel that would help them if they would apply it for the rest of their lives, to understand God's will for their lives. And so Joshua, coming to the end of his life in chapter 23, he was concerned for Israel's apostasy, or their falling away after his departure. When Joshua would die, then he felt like that they might go astray. And sometimes it's that one person in a family that kind of holds the family together and keeps them in church, whether it be a grandparent or maybe a mother or father. And when that one person dies or moves off the scene, then sometimes that family has a tendency to get out of church or get out of the will of God and start going in a different direction. We also have seen that in people's lives of our friends and families or whoever it might be. But Joshua he's seen this, and he had a concern, and a concern for Israel, that they would stay faithful to God even after his departure. And so in chapter 23, it's Joshua giving them some godly counsel on how to keep away from apostasy, how to prevent apostasy. We've seen that last week in the first 11 verses of chapter 23, and how to prevent apostasy. Now, apostasy is a falling away from God. Okay, it's going into a backslidden condition if you're a saved individual. Okay, it's falling away from the will of God. It's getting out of church. It's getting out of reading your Bible. It's getting out and stopping prayer and all the different things that God would have you to do in His will. Okay, so there was a warning that Joshua wanted to give them. And first of all, how to prevent apostasy. And the first 11 verses, we looked at that, and basically it was this: always exalt God. Never try to belittle God. Never use God's name in vain. But always honor and respect God. Exalt Him for who He is. He is the Creator God, and He deserves our honor and our glory and our worship and our praise. Always, always exalt Him. He would tell them to always obey Him. If you have any questions, don't do it. If you don't know if it's God's will or not, then don't do it. Always look to obey the will of God. And the will of God is the written down word of God. Just live by it. Always cleave unto God. Don't drift too far away from Him. Stay close to Him. You stay close to God through open communication. That's a prayer life. Don't ever forsake prayer. Make sure that your prayers are on a continual basis and communicate with God. Talk to God, let God talk to you. And so always cleave unto God. And the last thing that He would tell them to do and how to prevent apostasy, and possibly the most important thing, is love God. Just love God. Don't ever get bitter against God. Don't ever let anything come between you and your love for God. Just love God. Well, now stand with me. We're going to look at the second half of this. The second half of this is what happens if you fail to do that. If you go into apostasy, what's going to happen? And what Joshua is going to tell them in these last verses in chapter 23 is there will be judgment. Mark it down. There will be judgment. Verse 11, let's start here. It says, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. And then he says this, verse 12. Else, if you do in any wise go back, that's apostasy, falling back to the old life, going back trying to live like a lost person, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from all this off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going to the way of all the earth. It means he's going to die. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, or you have fallen into apostasy, you've turned back, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Wow, let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. And I just pray, God, during the next few minutes that you would help each one here to be attentive unto the teaching and the preaching of thy word. I pray that you might empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So chapter 23, verses 11 through 16, we find here that there's two different thoughts that Joshua presents to the nation of Israel. Now, he's already told them what they needed to do to prevent apostasy. But if they would fail to do that, if they would fail to do what he told them to do to keep them from backsliding or keep them from going back into the old world, going back into the old ways, keep them from going forward and living as God wanted them to do, this is what would happen. He said, first of all, that there would be judgment of God upon those who have given in to apostasy. Know of a certainty of judgment if you fall back into apostasy. Look what he says there in verse 12. Else, if you don't love God, if you don't do these things to keep from going into apostasy, he said, else, if you do in any wise, go back. And then he goes over some things that they would be doing back in that same promised land. It would be what they would have done as lost or what they would be doing in the land before the believers came into the land. If you go back and do these things, you fall away from the will of God. Then he says in verse 13, Know for a certainty. Know for a certainty. And then he goes through and tells them some of the things that God is going to be doing. So, know for a certainty. God keeps his word. Unlike some parents. Sometimes when we have children, our children disbehave, we say, all right, you're going to get it. If you do that again, you're going to get it. And they do it again. If you do that one more time, I'm telling you, if you do it one more time, you're going to get a spanking. And they do it again. Any of you ever do that? A few hands over there, that honest ones over there. You do it all the time, yeah. And the reason that you'll do it all the time is because they don't follow through with the spanking. You see, if a parent says, if you do that, you're going to get a spanking, then if you do that, you know what you ought to get? A spanking. That's right. You ought to be disciplined. Because the parent needs to know that the children needs to believe what you say you mean. And you're going to follow through with whatever correction. You're going to follow through with whatever punishment, whether it be taking away their phone, whether it be to take away their television, whether take away a privilege or spank, whatever it might be. If the parent says, if you do this, then mark my word, this is what's going to happen. And if the parent would be consistent with doing what they say they're going to do, then you help the child to be able to reevaluate, do I really want to do that or not? Is it worth the risk? Well, if the risk is, they've told me that 100 times, they've never spanked me yet. I still have my phone, I still have my privileges. Why should I deprive myself of something that I want to do just because somebody else told me if I do it, I'll get spanked, and then I'm not going to get spanked? God's not that kind of a parent. God loves you as a loving heavenly father. He wants you to call him your heavenly father. God loves you. And he knows if the best thing that a loving parent could do is to follow through with what they say they're going to do. If God says, if you do this, there is going to be consequences, then you mark it down. If you do what God tells you not to do, then there's going to be consequences. Know for a certainty. I guarantee if your children knew for a certainty that they would be disciplined for doing something they should not be doing, most of the time they would not do it. The certainty of judgment. Understand that God keeps his word. Look at verse 15. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you. Now look right there. Which the Lord your God promised you. God keeps his promises. He keeps his word when it's good or when it is, in your mind, maybe judgment. Whether it's blessing or judgment. If you meet the conditions that God says, if you do this, then I will do that. If you live this way, then this is what you can expect me to do for you. If you're obedient, now what a blessing it is when a parent promises the child, if you do this, then you can have an allowance. How many of you get allowances? Okay. Do you have to do something to earn that allowance? That's a good parent. That's a parent teaching you that you have to work for what you get. And that's helping you to establish things that's going to help you for the rest of your life. Amen. So we find here, if a parent says, all right, I'm going to give you $10 a week if you make sure you keep your room clean, if you do this, if you take the trash, whatever it might be, then you ought to be able to, if you fulfill that, get that promise of $10 a week. God will always give you what he promises you. If you meet the qualification for any promise that God has made, then you can mark it down. God will do what he says he will do, whether it's blessing or if it is judgment. That's a heavenly Father. That's a loving heavenly Father that's trying to help us to know that this is serious business. If you want my blessing, God says, then you have to live a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You have to accomplish certain things. And when we do that, then we can have the expectation, if I did my part, God will do his part. It's a certainty. There's no question about it. Our faith ought to help us to understand that if I meet that qualification, that promise, then I can claim that promise and God will give it to me. That's what he's saying. That's what Joshua here is giving the counsel, and he tells them, he says, therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you. Look back, did he not give you the promised land? Did he not deliver you from the land of Egypt? Did he not take care of you when 2 million people crossing a desert, did God not give you water in the desert? Did God not give you manna? He performed miracles to provide for the children of Israel as they made their way from Egypt to Canaan land. You have that as a history. You have that to look back on and say, yeah, God has always done what he said he would do. He has been faithful to take care of us. He has been faithful to bless us. He says you have that history. Then he says, so shall. So shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, or the judgment of God, if you fail to do what God has told you to do. Children will remind their parents of all the promises of good things. You promised me a new dress. You promised me McDonald's. You promised me this and you promised me that. They'll remind you of all the good things. But they do not believe your promise of judgment if you don't judge them, if you don't discipline them. Yeah. As God blesses obedience, he will judge apostasy. It's a certainty. The saved have a different kind of a judgment than the lost. If you're saved, this is what God says about the certainty of judgment. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is what God says. This is his promise. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. As a loving heavenly Father, if you do something that God says not to do, and his word, the Bible tells you it's wrong, and you do it anyway, as a saved person, this is what the Bible says. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. When you get saved, you become a child of God's. God then becomes your heavenly Father. And as a godly and a good parent, he is going to try to mold you and help you as you grow in life so that you can grow up to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. That your life will be meaningful. And so in order for it to be meaningful, he knows that you need to be self-disciplined. Discipline from God helps you to discipline yourself. Correct discipline of a parent will help every child to discipline themselves. Because there's always things that we want to do, but we shouldn't do. There's always going to be, I desire to eat the ice cream before I have my meal. But the parent usually says, no, you have to eat the green beans before you can have the ice cream. Because your body needs the green beans, the proteins and the vitamins that's in the green beans more than it needs the ice cream. So a loving Heavenly Father says, I know what you need, and I know what's going to hinder you and hurt you down the road. And so when you do that which I tell you not to do, then I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to discipline you. And he scourgeth, he does this to every son whom he receiveth, because we all are going to need to be disciplined. There's no exceptions. No matter how much of an angel you think you are, you still are going to need to be disciplined. Amen. Yeah. And no matter how spiritual you might think you are, you still have a sin nature. You still have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that you're going to battle every day of your life. And if you don't learn self-discipline, you're going to give in to things that's going to bring judgment and heartache into your life. So he says there. Now drop down to verse 9. He says this. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Every child needs to acknowledge the authority of the parent and reverence them when they discipline you. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasures, but he for our profit. God's doing this because it's to help you, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. If you enjoy being chastened, it's not much of a discipline. If you say, Dad, would you come and spank me today? If you're enjoying that spanking, there's something wrong there. It's not supposed to be for your comfort. It's supposed to get you discomfortable. It's supposed to make you hurt. It's supposed to bring some kind of pain and sorrow to the place that you say, I don't want ever to have that happen to me again, so I'm not going to do the things that's going to bring that punishment into my life. That's when it's done correctly. Now, no chasing for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It helps you. It's what you need for your future. It's what you need to be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And it's a certainty. Mark it down. It's a certainty. God's judgment is certain. Now, that's for the saved. The lost will be judged, but it's a different judgment. Look over John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 36. It says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's a promise of God. You say, am I saved? Well, have you believed on the Son of God? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is that? That's a promise from God. But what do you have to do to get that promise? For in order for you to qualify for that promise of everlasting life, what you have to do is call upon him, believe in him, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul. If you've done that, listen to me, because God has promised you that. And we serve and look to a God who cannot lie. If you've done what God says you must do to be saved, then you are saved because of God's promise. But then look what he says. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. the wrath of God abideth on him. He will not see God. He will not see eternal life. He will die and go to a place that is void of the presence of God, a place the Bible calls a place of hell. That's what happens when a person does not believe and receive Jesus Christ. The lost will be judged ultimately at the great white throne judgment and cast into a lake of fire for an eternity. That's what the Bible says. That's a promise that God makes. Well, what will the judgment of God concerning his children look like? Now, it's explained here. Joshua, go back with me. Just got a few more minutes. I'm not going to be much longer, but I want you to get this. The judgment is certain. God, to understand that, know for a certainty, the judgment of God is certain to the lost and to the saved. It's a different judgment. It's chastisement for the saved. It's eternal damnation for the lost. But what does it look like? There's four quick things here that he tells them that would happen to them in the land that God gave them. If you fall into apostasy as a child of God, these are things that will happen to each one of us. He says in verse 13, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you." No more will he give you the victory over the enemy. There's a loss of power to gain the victories. Do you get a hold of that? If you're saved, then you have within you the Holy Spirit of God, and you have the power, the strength that God will give you to have victory after victory after victory. "For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." If you're saved, you can accomplish great and mighty things through the strength that Christ gives to you. If you are living for him, you have the strength for victory. If you are not living for him, then you have lost that power for victory. He gave them the land of Canaan. They were only able to defeat the armies and the rulers of the land of Canaan because of the power of God. He gave it to them. They were victorious in the land of Canaan because they were looking to God and doing what God wanted them to do. If you turn away from that, if you turn into apostasy, you lose that. Without the strength of God, I can do nothing. You want God's power? You have to live for him. You have to do what he says. If you don't, you're not going to have it. Wow. Samson learned that. Samson gave in to his lust with Delilah. He lost the power. And the Bible says he didn't even realize it. The Philistines came upon him. He wist not that it was gone. And without the power of God upon his life, he was no match for the Philistines. I will lose his strength. I will lose his enabling. The second thing he tells them. What does it look like? What's the judgment of God, the chastisement of God looks like? Verse 13. Not only will he will not drive them out anymore, but they will become, look what it says, "but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and not a thorn in your hand," but look right, "a thorn in your eye." I've had thorns in my hands, and it hurts. I can't imagine what a thorn in my eye would do, what it'd feel like. Yeah. "It'd be thorns in your eye until you perish from off this good land." Not only will you lose his strength, you lose his protection from evil. Samson lost his strength. because he lost his power and he lost his protection when the Philistines plucked out his eyes. He didn't have God's protection, and so the Philistines was able to do whatever they wanted to do with him. And they took Samson and they plucked out his eyes, because he didn't have the protection of God. Wonder what could happen to us. Can I tell you, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we fight spiritual warfare. And Satan is just hovering over, waiting to pounce on every child of God's. If God lifts his protective hand off you, Satan will come in and he will devour. He's as that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The only reason he's not devouring us is because of God's protective hand. When we live in rebellion against God, we fall into apostasy, we lose God's protective hand upon our lives. Wow. That's what it looks like. That's what happens. The third thing, verse 15. He says, therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land. Destroyed you from off this good land. There's a loss of possessions. Whatever God has blessed you with. What's God blessed you with? Do you feel like it was God who blessed you with good health? I know that one thing, God gives us our children. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They come from God. God can take away his possessions. I believe God brings a husband and wife together. I think God can, we don't have the protection and the power of God and his, Satan can devour your marriage. Satan will devour your family. Satan will devour your church. Oh, I pray often that God would put his protective hand upon me and my family and this church family. That's why I pray, and I'm serious about my prayer for our congregation, our people. Deliver us from satanic harm. Lead us in the paths of righteousness. Because we need God's possessions. God's blessed us with a church family. God's blessed us with our own families. God has blessed us with whatever blessings you have. They're from God. And you're putting them at risk if you turn away from God and fall back into apostasy. He says, I'll take you out of the land. I gave you the land. I can take it away from you. Now, the last thing, verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourself to them, then, this is what he's going to do, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. This is probably one of the most important of all. The loss of the peace of God. God has not given you peace, he's given you anger. Bible says you can be angry and sin not. It's righteous anger. It's justified judgment. The loss of the peace. I don't know how I could make it through the day if I didn't have the peace of God. I don't know how I can make it through any trial that I experience if I didn't have the peace of God in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial. But it only comes to those who are serving God, who are living as God wants you to live. If you fall away from God, you lose that. You lose that peace and contentment. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says that salvation brings a peace with God. You can't lose salvation. When you're saved, you have this peace with God. You become a child of God's. That's something you can't lose. I'm not saying that you're losing that. You can't lose that. He's given you everlasting life. He can't take that back. He gave it to you. It's a gift. You can't take back something that you give to somebody. It's theirs. You gave it to them. If you didn't want to have them, don't give it to them. If you give it to them, it's theirs. You can't take that back. But what you will lose, not the peace with God, but you will lose the peace of God. Philippians 4, verse 7. A walk with God brings the peace of God, which passeth understanding and gives you peace of heart and of mind. This keeps our hearts and our minds content. When you're living for God, no matter what it is that you're battling, if you continue to look to Him, He will give you a peace that passes all understanding, and He will give you a contentment that you can't find anywhere else. It comes from God. But if you fail to do your part, you lose that. That's why some people commit suicide. So I've seen even Christians take their own lives, not because they were not saved, but because they had lost the contentment, and Satan had filled their heart and their mind with all this bitterness, and they to the place that they'll take their own lives. Satan's greatest victory to get a born-again believer to give up on his life, take it. Don't do that. What's going to keep that from happening? Serve God. So Joshua, that's the whole message. Joshua is telling the nation of Israel, serve God. When I'm gone, continue to do what you've been doing that brought all these blessings of God upon your life. Do not forsake God. Do not turn your back on God. Do not fall into apostasy. Continue to serve God all your life. And you can claim every promise that He made you. Serve God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do not fall into apostasy. Judgment is certain for every born-again believer. Judgment is certain, and you'll lose these things. Do not turn away from God. Turn to God and claim the promises that He has for you. Invitation time. Invitation time. What is that? It's an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. If God spoke to you about salvation, you need to come and get saved. God spoke to you about repentance, you need to repent of whatever sin that's in your life. Whatever it is that God is right now pricking your heart and telling you that you need to make a decision on, then now's the time to make it. Do not put it off. Make whatever decision God would have you to make right now. As we sing, in just a minute, I want to ask you to come. I'm going to pray for you right now. And we're going to stand, we're going to sing, we're going to have an invitation. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. And I pray tonight, God, You know exactly who's here, what's going on in their life. You know who's lost, who's backslidden, who needs to make more of a commitment to You in their lives. I pray right now that that would be done. Prick the hearts of each one. Help each one to make whatever decision You want them to make. In Jesus' name we pray.